Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year. Half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
We are back. We have made it, Kiernan.
Finally.
Our suffering's over.
Thank God.
Thank God. Week zero is upon us. It is Christmas Eve for all of us. Kiernan, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
24.
That's fair. I was go Rick Pitino, an Italian restaurant bathroom. I'm lasting about 10 seconds just thinking about college football.
That's phenomenal. That's a great way to start this off.
I need to get more into the habit of recognizing my girlfriend listens to this religiously now.
That's impressive.
I'm going to get yeah, she listens like 3 times.
Aww,
apparently.
How nice of her.
Love her to death. She listens the first time, Googles like people we talk about because she doesn't really know or care about college football, listens a second time to try and digest it, and then listens a third time to enjoy it. And she's going to have to listen to me say I'm lasting 10 seconds like Rick Pitino in an Italian restaurant bathroom.
Does she know that we are completely incompetent at this, or is she just blissfully unaware?
Well, I think she's listened to about 3 or 4 episodes now. I think it's starting to sink in.
Okay.
That she's aware, or that we're not that great and we're kind of a little off.
It was mostly our picks last year. That was really what threw us.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we had some good takes. It's just the picks that
I think that was our downfall, and that's why we're not doing picks anymore.
Our
takes are always pretty decent.
Yeah.
But we can't pick a game to save our lives.
No.
So we're just going to talk about games instead. We're just going to break down kind of storylines to watch, what we're excited for the coming week. And maybe if we feel the spirit of Dave Portnoy imbued upon us in our gambling degeneracy selves, and we want to throw a pick out there, we will. But we're not going to track them. We're not going to make it a competition because, man, that was just depressing.
It was. The only time it got fun is when we had that competition towards the end, and I pulled out a huge lead in the bowl games. That was the most exciting time.
I think it made it a little better because we were both terrible.
Yeah.
So it was enjoyable for us because we were always kind of close, but it wasn't enjoyable for anyone else. However, we'll get to games later. Right now, we're going to talk about some of the big news this week. Michigan has imposed a suspension upon Jim Harbaugh for breaking the dead period rules during 2020. 3-game suspension, basically what the NCAA was giving him anyway. Kaden, what are your thoughts on this?
I feel like it's both a pointless effort on the part of Michigan and Harbaugh, because the first three games are mostly irrelevant, especially for teams like Michigan. But at the same time, I understand why they had to give themselves the ban, because otherwise the NCAA might have come down much, much harder than Michigan did. But now Michigan says, oh, look at us, we're taking responsibility for our own actions, when in reality, this doesn't matter at all. It's just a PR thing. That's it.
Yeah, see, a lot of top programs also will do this. Alabama does it a lot. They'll catch a player doing something they shouldn't be doing. They will then suspend them, report it to the NCAA, and be like, look, we caught this guy doing this. We've already punished him. We've already suspended him. And the NCAA will go, okay, cool. That means we don't have to do anything. The problem with how Michigan went about this is the NCAA started looking into it. You stop that shit early. You be the ones to tell the NCAA that an infraction happened and that you are suspending them, so the NCAA doesn't come sniffing around your program.
Right. Because if they do and they find something else, that's when the problems really occur.
Yes. So I think self-imposing a suspension makes sense. The timing of it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
No, they should have done it. They should have done it when it was first announced that the NCAA was looking for the four games, and they just should have said, "Yeah, no, we've already imposed a three game thing." That was the time to do it. This just is just daft. It's pointless. It's an exercise in who is going to look better on the other side of week five.
Yeah, no, it's insane, but Michigan is not a top flight program, so you don't expect them to think about this kind of stuff. People are going to get mad at me for calling Michigan not a top flight program. They're not.
Yeah, no.
They're
can't win a Big Ten.
They're probably tier two, maybe three of the last 15, 20 year programs.
Yeah. Yeah, the only Big Ten school that's like that currently is Ohio State, and even they're slipping thanks to Ryan Day.
Yeah. Oh, he's.
We'll get to him a different week, Kevin. Just try and remain focused today.
Oh, we'll get to him in a little bit. Speaking of punishments in the NCAA, Reggie Bush, Heisman winning running back. I don't care what the NCAA says. He won it on the field. They shouldn't have taken away, is suing the NCAA for defamation, because in 2021, the NCAA said he was involved in a pay-for-play scheme, which he says was not true. He did not get paid to play at USC. I don't know. I don't know how this case is going to go, because if the NCAA can even sort of make a connection to a booster at USC, which presumably they already have due to the fact they took away his Heisman, it's not going to go Reggie's way.
I don't necessarily know, because even if they do have the connection to the booster, and you know, the times at the, you know, during his playing career, or playing college playing career, it's one of those things like a committee board, or I don't know if this is going to like civil court or whatever, but somebody's going to say, okay, yeah, but you just now allowed it. So, and it happened all the time back then, whether it was known about or not, like when can we just retroactively impose the rules that are currently on the books for paying players and apply it to 2005, you know, and then you have to go back and do all the times that the NCAA caught people violating that policy, or does, you know, a court hold out and say, look, these were the rules of the time and he broke them. And I think honestly, a jury or whatever could see it either way. I don't know if it's going to be jury. It's more just the court, because it's a civil matter, not a criminal matter. But you know, it's how does one weigh the pros and cons of him being stripped of his Heisman Trophy. Like, yeah, it's a trophy, but, and we all know he won it. Everybody says he's a Heisman winner. So, like, I don't think he needs the trophy to prove that he's the candidate to win it.
I think part of the issue, though, is this isn't about the Heisman as it currently stands. It's about that one phrase where the NCAA said he was involved in a pay-to-play scheme or pay-to-play model, which is technically still against NCAA rules. You cannot be paid to play at a certain institution. Any NIL money needs to be unrelated to any enrollment at a NCAA university. And at the same time, it was against the rules then. Even with current NIL rules, he broke the rules. So I think it's going to be a fool's errand for Reggie Bush. I think it's going to be an unnecessary waste of money trying to sue the NCAA. I think he's going to lose this. It's going to get thrown out. And I'm not sure. But I still think they should give him back his Heisman. I think
at
that
the
was
very
stupid.
Minimum. At the minimum, they should give him back the Heisman. Whether he that should be the settlement out of court. It's like, we'll reinstate your Heisman if you don't sue us.
And I think he would do that in a heartbeat, honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
But it's...
And here's the thing. How many people have you heard, when talking about Reggie Bush, say, oh, he's not a Heisman winner anymore because he got his trophy, you know, taken away from him for a pay-to-play model? It's like, no, he's still the Heisman winner. It's just on a technicality that... he doesn't have it, you know, that as his part of his accolades. But everybody knows that he did win the Heisman. And from my own point of view, in 2005, I was like 8, so I don't even remember who was the runner-up. But I couldn't even name them. But I could name Reggie Bush. So that's just kind of my point.
I think part of the problem, though, is it's not necessarily now. Like, now, obviously, it doesn't matter what the record book says. Everyone knows who Reggie Bush is. Everyone knows what he was doing at USC. But when you come up with a guy like Clint Frank, who won the Heisman in 1937, nobody knows who the fuck that is. Mm-hmm. Except maybe Yale fans. But he won the Heisman, and he's on the books. He's in the record books as a Heisman Trophy winner. I think it comes down to Reggie Bush's legacy, and that is 100% why it matters that he should get it back.
I don't think anybody would disagree with you, Kevin. I certainly won't.
Yeah, I just think I don't like the NCAA. I think they're dumb.
But you are right in the sense that I think, you know, I don't want to say I retract my previous statement, but I do feel like they will. The NCAA will win if he goes through with it because of the laws governing it at the time, whether people think it's right or wrong. It really is just the Heisman Trophy. That's all he's trying to get out of this.
Yeah, I think if they didn't take away his Heisman Trophy and said this, I don't think he'd care as much.
No, he wouldn't even try to sue them.
Rightfully so, in his defense. I mean, that in a national championship is what every single player is trying to get, and they're taking one of those away from him. So,
yeah.
Also, so while talking about Heisman Trophy winners, Caleb Williams, per Pete Thamel, is not decided yet on if he is joining the 2024 NFL draft or if he's going to come back an extra year and enter the 2025 NFL draft. I feel like we hear about this every year. It's like Trevor Lawrence a couple years ago. Oh, the Jaguars have the first pick. He might come back to college. Or, Arizona has the first overall pick. He might come back to college for you. Like, it's something that we keep hearing about. And I do think with NIL, that we will see it eventually. Some team will suck halfway through the season, look like they're going to be the first overall pick with no talent, and a guy will go, well, I'm making NIL money, so who cares? I don't think we're seeing it yet.
No, and I mean, and the other thing is, like, these NIL deals, I don't know the full logistics of them. I'm sure they're, you know, case by case basis, but like the money in the NFL is just so much more structured and so much more guaranteed. And there's the signing bonus. There's what you're getting guaranteed, even if you're not a starter, and this, that, and the other thing. And I think there's no chance with the NIL money that it's, I feel like it's way too fickle to warrant you coming back for a third season, coming back again for, to be ready for the 2025 season. I think you're doing so well, you know, play this year out, go off the wall, get the Heisman, you know, become a Heisman winner, and then waltz off into the sunset of your probably relatively short NFL career and just enjoy it while you can. There's no point in coming back.
Yeah, and NIL deals, it was a big deal last year when Bryce Young got $1 million. Like, that was, wow, NIL guys are making bank. I think that number will keep increasing every year as more guys hit that million threshold. Some will go, well, I want to make $2 million, I want to make $3 million, so on and so forth. First overall picks get $40 million.
Yeah.
With a $26 million signing bonus.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? Oh, I might come back. Like, I understand that you love the game, but you're giving up the potential of you getting injured and tearing your ACL in college on $1 million is not worth the $40 million you're going to get in the NFL, not by a long shot. I don't care how dedicated you are to your college football program. That would be the stupidest decision you could possibly make.
Yes, and I think there are defenses for guys coming back. Oh, they came just short of winning a national championship with a team that they committed to and they rooted for as a kid, or they came second at Heisman voting and they really want to get that Heisman. Yeah. And the NIL money makes that a little bit easier of a decision because they know they are still getting a good amount of money. I'm not trying to laugh at $1 million. That's absurd.
No,
but it's not going to just be, oh, I don't like that this team is the first overall pick. I already mentioned Trevor Lawrence. He's now a playoff game winning quarterback for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
This is all smoke and mirrors. Caleb Williams is entering the 2024 NFL draft. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy who, and I'm not trying to be mean, or I'm not trying to be callous about what the modern athlete goes through. With transfer portal, he jumped ship from Oklahoma because his coach left. Are we sure that he's going to care
about
winning a national championship at USC?
No, God, no.
He already has his Heisman.
Yeah. You're totally right. It's all smoke and mirrors. I don't think he genuinely believes. Like, he might say it just for his own guys at USC, for maybe for them to play a little bit harder, or for his own coach, or whatever the case may be. But no, he's not staying. Like, nobody would stay in that situation. I mean, unless you were with Alabama and you got injured your junior year, had to sit out your senior year, and you got like an extra year of eligibility or whatever, and you wanted to like prove to the NFL scouts that you still had it, yeah, I could see you coming back for a situation like that. But get another Heisman, sure, but not a third Heisman and nowhere near the top four in the CFP. Like,
yeah, no,
be realistic.
It's wild. Pete Thamel is also breaking a lot of news this week. The ACC is looking to add Cal, Stanford, and SMU and is making a hard push to do that. I, Cannon, what are your thoughts on this?
Too little, too late, to be honest, for the ACC. Just accept the fact that the bottom half of your conference is going to be absorbed by the SEC, and they're going to break it out into a North-South conference thing, and then just let it be like that. Don't stop trying to expand your conference with tier two Division I schools. Like, you already have a bunch of them, and the only one that wouldn't be considered that is Clemson, and maybe if they're having a good year, Florida State. Like, come on.
Yeah, and also, like, SMU, I don't really get, I sort of get it. It is close to, sort of close to the rest of the ACC schools, at least the southern ones. Cal and Stanford.
Yeah, that makes
no sense.
I mean, the other Pac-12 school was going to the Big Ten. I was like, geez, you know, that's gonna be a hike, because at some point you have to play Rutgers, and that's literally on the other side of the country. And it's now you're doing the same thing with, you know, BC and Cal, like literally the furthest points that you could get from two teams, except maybe Hawaii, but that's for another time.
Yeah, and also, at least the Big Ten added two other West Coast schools.
Yeah.
To mitigate that travel a little bit. The ACC doesn't. It's going to be insane. I don't hate the move from a historic standpoint for Stanford, but my stomach's been killing me like all day, so I had to take a Tums, so I'm going to edit that out.
I was like, did I lose you?
No, I just, my tummy's upset.
That's such a freaking funny thing to hear from a 27-year-old. Oh, my tummy's a little upset. What are you fucking five?
I might just keep this in. I'll cut out the part where I was chewing and then just leave that in.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah, nope, I am sickened by the idea of forcing all these student athletes to travel across the country, and I need to take a Tums.
Yeah, it's truly disgusting. That brings up a slight tangent that I would like to bring up with all this conference realignment. It was a few weeks ago now, but a couple of the Oregon, I think, and maybe Washington softball players are just like, I went to a school, you know, on the West Coast to be, you know, to play on the West Coast so that my family could come visit and this, that, and the other thing. And now I have to travel to Rutgers, you know, and it's, you know, to play a game. And I'm just thinking, like, I understand why football, they're doing this for football, because it is the big moneymaker. It doesn't matter what you say, what school, football is the big moneymaker, especially for D1 schools. But I do feel bad for, like, the other teams and sports that have to deal with this, because, like, you know, they're not in it for the millions of dollars that you get in the NFL. I mean, maybe baseball, sure, basketball, yeah, probably. But I'm like, geez, you know, that they've got a point. Like,
also
maybe just make the conferences football and that's it.
Also, forcing someone to travel from LA to New Jersey
it's a crime in and of itself.
December. Yeah. Not even in the winter. Even if it was a summer sport, like just
I would argue, Kevin, New Jersey is worse in the summer.
I'll admit that, yeah. No, New Jersey's – I think New Jersey's just terrible year-round.
Mm-hmm. True. Just
year-round, at least if you were going to go in the fall, you'll see a little snow maybe. Now, the snow will be brown, but God.
You might see a few leaves change color, but mostly just to black soot.
Yeah. The only redeeming quality of New Jersey for someone in the Northeast is it's a quicker way to get south rather than going through New York.
You'd still have to go through New York regardless.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, all of New York.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, New Jersey is terrible, and that's – if you don't know that already, you're either from New Jersey, not from America, or just dumb. But – and I hate to break it to you guys, but if we have anyone listening from New Jersey, I'm sorry, but move to a better state, and we won't make fun of you constantly for it. I think that's a fair assessment.
You know, this is going to be the most responded to video or the most interacted with podcast, because it's now just going to become New Jersey slander for the rest of our time doing this.
Yes, 100%. We're changing it. The name is no longer going to be Tailgate of the Quad. It's going to be God, New Jersey sucks. And we're just going to talk shit about the worst state in America.
Oh, God. This is going to be a chaos. All right, moving on.
All right, moving on and away from the garbage state that is New Jersey, bringing down this entire episode. It's week zero, Kiernan, which is the dumbest fucking thing ever. It's week one. Just call it week one.
Yeah, I hate week zero. I said it last year. I'll say it again. So dumb.
Yeah. Now, I understand maybe you don't want to sully the good name of college football weeks with this dog shit schedule. But, and outside of the game in Ireland, that's always a cool game. Always has, I don't want to say competent teams, because you had Wisconsin and Northwestern last year.
Yeah.
And Northwestern won one game, zero in the United States of America.
Yeah.
So, not competent, but at least big name programs. And again, not Northwestern, but Wisconsin. So, it's fun. It'll be fun, Karen. What, outside of Notre Dame versus Navy, because that'll be the easy pick for everyone, what games are you really looking forward to this weekend?
I am particularly looking forward to the UMass versus New Mexico State game. I think purely because, from there and whatnot, I just want to see how badly UMass actually performs, because for the first time in as long as I can remember, UMass would be playing Penn State at Penn State, I think week four. And I am going to laugh my fucking ass off watching that game. And now that I just said that, I think we're going to lose. Shit. Oh, God. That would be the worst thing ever.
Sorry, bud. I am looking forward to this UMass-New Mexico State game, because New Mexico State is also terrible, and it will hopefully make the Minutemen look like a competent football team for the first time since coming to FBS. A competent FCS team.
I guess. I mean,
semi-competent occasionally.
Okay, fine.
But, and also head coach Don Brown has a great saying. It's solve your problems with aggression. So, want to see him do well. Want to see some big hits out of the Minutemen.
I now have a new favorite head coach.
There we go. I'm looking forward to the Vandy Hawaii game. Because first off, the story behind it's hilarious. Vanderbilt is doing stadium renovations. Oh. Not done. Decided, hey, so guys, we're kicking off August 26th. Is this going to be ready by then? Yeah. Probably. Hopefully.
I mean, hey,
we got some bad news. So that's not going to be right. That's going to be funny. But also, the Rainbow Warriors got their asses handed to them in Hawaii last year by Vanderbilt. I'm curious to see if Vanderbilt can improve on that 5-7 record from last year, which is a good year for Vanderbilt, let's be honest. Anything more than two wins for them should get a banner. And Hawaii, I want to see Hawaii do well. I really do. But I'm curious. I'm curious to see if Clark Lee, year two, is improved.
Find out
for the rest. Yes, for the rest of the games, you got Ohio at San Diego State at 7 o'clock on Saturday. You have Navy versus Notre Dame in Ireland at 2:30. That's just how SB Nation has it listed. I don't know why they have them. They don't have them in order of time, but it's fine. San Jose State at USC at 8 o'clock.
That's going to be Hawaii at Vandy.
That's going to be a fun game or a blowout. I don't know which.
I think it's going to be closer than most people think. I think week zero USC is going to have some hiccups. I hope I'm right. That'd be fun.
That's fair. Then you got Hawaii at Vandy at 7:30. Not at Vandy. They're playing at some other stadium. I forget which. UTEP at Jacksonville State at 5:30. FIU at Louisiana Tech at 9. And then UMass at New Mexico State at 7. Also, I feel like Ohio and San Diego State are going to be the – it's going to be the most competitive game.
Yeah, I see that.
Like, I think it, one way or the other, it's – the game's either going to be ugly, an ugly blowout, or just an ugly struggle win for good teams.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think
like every now and again, San Diego State can produce good games. Like I think they're like, you know, every sixth game they'll like put up 38 and be like, where the fuck did this come out of? And win by two, you know, it'll be a close game or whatever, but they'll still win. And I feel like that'll be one of these games.
Yes. No, I agree. I don't know. I get a feeling that the rest of these games are going to be really ugly. And this could be ugly too, but I think it'll be a fun kind of ugly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. Do you know why they play at Aviva instead of Croke Park in Ireland? Is it just because Aviva's easier to fill and it's a little more modern?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but I think Croke Park, the field dimensions
can't fit a college football field.
Yeah, fit it. I don't know if I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I think the Aviva is also more well-known. It's easier to get to. It's closer to Center City than I think Croke Park is. So it's...
Yeah, Croke Park's out there.
Yeah, so it's probably convenience.
Yeah, I remember we were going on a tour. I come from a family of history nerds. We were going on a tour of Croke Park for the historical aspects to Ireland and the tragedy that was Bloody Sunday when British troops massacred Irish citizens because they're fucking rat bastards. And she was like, oh, we'll just take the metro or the transit there. It was closed that day, so we had to walk.
Oh, that's brutal.
Fucking awful. It's a terrible walk. But I don't know if there's any other reasons.
Yeah, it's probably accessibility. I don't know what I was talking about, field dimensions, but I think it's probably the ease of which to get there.
That's true. Also, I was just thinking, like, in America, you'll just go with the biggest stadium because you're going to fill it. That's probably not as much of a lock in Ireland.
I think... Croke Park's the biggest, but Aviva's probably second biggest.
Yes. Aviva's not a small stadium. I'm not saying it's like a high school football stadium.
I think it's 60,000, which is very respectable. But I had a brief brain fart there. I was like, because I know Notre Dame is playing Navy. And I was like, hold on a second. Ireland is also playing an international match that day. How the fuck? Oh, no, they're not playing in Ireland. All right. I had like a brief moment. I'm like, they both play the Aviva. How does that work?
Oh, it's going to be a shit show. They're going to play both games at the same time. Can't wait.
They'll just bring out the rugby players to face the Notre Dame team.
I mean, look, it's a service academy game. The rugby players will probably run the Navy offense about as well as Navy does. It's going to be triple option, run the ball.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Navy should just go to other countries, find big rugby players who want to come to America and be like, hey, you want to go to a service academy, serve in the military for 4 years and play some football? And then
that's what they did with Jordan Mailata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should just do that.
Yeah.
And... now, in our shortened session, or shortened episodes that we're going to be doing from now on, Kieran, last topic, what is your boldest prediction for this year?
It actually stems from the service academies. Bold prediction. I want to go all the way out in left field. All service academies will be above 500 this year.
When you say all, do you mean the big three?
Yes.
Okay. Because... I know we don't talk about D3 football enough, but yeah, I didn't know if we're including the Coast Guard Academy.
Okay, all right, come on, be serious. I mean, the guys that play at D1 level, they're all going to be above 500.
Okay,
And I feel like that's half realistic, half bold, and half Army's going to fuck it up. Or Navy, actually, now that I think about that, Navy's going to fuck it up.
I feel like it'll be Navy. I don't know why. Because I feel like the one that definitely won't fuck it up is Air Force. I feel like they're always sneaky competent at football.
Yes, definitely.
That's fair.
R.I.P. Mike Leach, he would have been a brilliant coach at Air Force.
100%. That would have been perfect. My hot take, or bold take, is going to be Talia Tungavailoa being a Heisman finalist this year.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's likely. I think his big knock coming into college was he's not ready. He's been the starter for a couple of years now at Maryland. He's going to make Maryland – he's made Maryland at times look respectable.
Yeah.
And I think he's – it's going to pay off. He's matured. He's built. He's ready to take what's his.
Yeah, no, that's a
get good revenge for Tua for never getting a Heisman.
Imagine that's the thing I feel so bad for, especially in like when it comes to brothers and siblings and things like that. It's like you know, same last name, but your brother outshines you completely. Like that, as the eldest brother in my family, that would bother me to no end. I mean, I, you know, love my brothers and all that, but fuck, that would piss me off unimaginable.
Yeah, how pissed do you think Eli was when Peyton got that second ring?
Oh, extremely. He said he was happy. That's a bold-faced lie.
He wasn't.
No sibling is ever that happy or grateful for his brother's accomplishments. I don't care who you are. You are a liar.
Luckily for Eli, he still has more Super Bowl MVPs than Peyton.
Yeah.
So he still has that. Like, well, as the when he retired, as the record holder for most touchdowns of the season and a two-time Super Bowl champion and all this other stuff, Eli just go, yeah, you know, that last Super Bowl you were dragged to. I dragged my entire team to both of mine. Shut the fuck up, Peyton. Pass the gravy, bitch.
Yep. That's exactly the Thanksgiving conversation that happened.
Yep. And then you just have Archie sitting in the corner drinking a bourbon, still getting Vietnam flashbacks from those early Saints teams.
Yeah, and then you have is the young one Archie as well?
Arch. Okay. Yes, but he
and it's just you know, during the time of the both the uncles, I guess, in the Super Bowl, or you know, in their respective playing careers, it's just him in the corner with like an apple juice box, just sipping it. I can be a quarterback too.
Hey, looks up. Yeah, no shit, because of what me and Eli did. You're fucking garbage. He is not good.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed.
No, he's a third star recruit or a three star recruit with a five star last name.
Oh, that is a wonderful insult. Oh, that is phenomenal. You're a three star recruit with a five star name.
Yeah,
that
like is... if his last name was, I don't know, Smith, nobody would give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Texas got this three star quarterback. Not even. He'd probably be at Louisiana Tech or something. But there you have it. That is our final episode of the offseason. We'll be back next week, breaking down week zero, talking a bit about the upcoming week. And everyone have a good, safe, fun weekend.
Finally!
So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.